Come on around back, Arizona. Time to get a little dirt under our fingernails. Smell that soil. Tease your brother and spray him with the hose.
Is this on a timer, by the way? I've always wondered if this was,
8 o'clock every Saturday morning. Gotta start watering.
I'm telling you.
You're tuned in to Rosie on the House. If you'd like to talk trees today, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. You can text questions to 411-923. Or if you have a something you need to snap a picture of, if you need help with plant, tree, insect identification, you can email that to info@rosieonthehouse.com. Our Talking Trees host, John Eisenhower, ISA certified arborist, is in studio, founder of Integrity Tree Service, and he's been a host of our Talking Trees. John, I think we're close to 4 years now.
Yeah, I was saying 3 or 4 years. Yes, we'll have to go back and check. It's been fun. It's gone by quickly.
It has.
Here we are at the end of another year, and getting ready to roll up our sleeves for some more tree work in the new year, and kind of wrapping up this year with some plans and. Got a lot of fun stuff to talk about today, even though the pruning work is sort of slowing down this time of year. There are some things to be thinking about as we turn the corner into the new year in terms of your...
What should I be thinking about? Tell me.
Well, we are always wanting to keep in mind that our landscapes are evolving and they're growing. The plants, of course, are living things, and our trees are the largest living plant we have in our yards, and they are growing and maturing into the landscape. I talked with a landscape architect this week about the need to be planning for, they're considering some new construction project, and they wanted my advice on whether this large eucalyptus tree, actually at their Wrigley Mansion, and whether they should keep this tree as they head into this large construction project. And my advice was probably not to retain the tree. Even though it's a beautiful, mature tree, the risk of that tree not being able to survive the construction project is too high. And in the same is true of our landscape. Sometimes we have trees that have achieved and then exceeded their landscape purpose, their original landscape purpose, and they're going to have some difficulties as they mature. And we are recommending a service that we provide for all of our clients, and that is to, maybe once a year, do an evaluation of your yard. What plans for the next 12 months? We were met with a client yesterday, Sarah and I, my plant healthcare director, meet with this customer every year, and we talk about a management plan for their landscape for the coming year. It took us about an hour to do a walkthrough. We look at every tree. We inventory the yard, take a kind of an assessment on what the pruning requirements will be for the various trees, what the fertilizing schedule will be, if there's any other spray services, any other insect or disease issues that we're looking at and dealing with. This customer in particular has a few fly traps that are set out, insect collection traps, because she has an issue with oleander leaf scorch, and there's an insect that vectors that disease, and we're just kind of tracking to see if we might find that insect. But also there's some problems with her citrus trees. So these very inexpensive little glue traps you can put in your yard, and they actually, if insects that fly into them get stuck in them, and then we can evaluate what type of insects are circulating in and around her garden. These are just things that we like to do, services that we offer. And what we've done for her now is we put together a simple spreadsheet that gives her a management plan for the next year. It helps her and her husband budget for the coming season, and also gives us a very clearly defined plan of action for the next 12 months. Real simple. Things can change from quarter to quarter. We do some fertilizing for her on a quarterly basis, and we do some pruning on a biannual basis. But most of the trees are done once a year. So we do our heavier pruning in the spring or early summer, And then during the other times of the year, we'll come in and do some quarterly smaller services for her. But it breaks it up for her and also helps us to be treating the various tree species at the right time. Our deciduous trees get pruned in the winter, our citrus in the early spring, our mesquites in the summer. So you, various trees can be pruned at the optimum time for that species. So having a quarterly maintenance plan works for some of our customers because it helps us to kind of divide up the work throughout the annual season. So that's what we would recommend this time of year. It's a kind of a quiet time for our pruning, but there are certain things we can do this time of year, especially as we turn the corner into the new year in terms of planning.
So I know this is kind of a post question, but let's say I was going to put some Christmas lights in a tree, and let's say that tree needed a little bit of pruning. Was it wrong to prune that before I hung the trees going into the winter? It was a deciduous. It was a mulberry.
Yeah, it's not too much of a risk. It depends on what you took out of it. I mean, if you took out 50% of the foliage to be able to hang your lights, well, that would be a problem, not with with reference to the cold, but just robbing the tree of all that leaf surface, which is needed for it to photosynthesize and stay healthy. But yeah, we recommend actually for people to prune their trees lightly before they put the lights in. It certainly gives you an easier time of installing the lights and get some. They'll carry that prune right through the holiday season.
I think I'm okay then. I'm all right.
And you can, as you said, deciduous trees can be pruned this time of year with a lot less damage to the plants. In fact, we recommend December, January, even right through into early February are perfect times to be trimming all of your deciduous trees.
And what I just realized, gosh darn it, John, I was going to bring you a bushel of lemons.
Oh.
We had the Wickenburg Parade last night, so I didn't get home till after dark. But I was like, I got to bring John. We've got our two lemon trees are just exploded with full of lemons. And,
wow.
I mean, they're only 5 years old. I'm taller than these trees, but we have done nothing to them. I haven't trimmed them. I've just let them grow natural, keep their bush form. And you get down underneath that top layer where you've got a couple years' growth where the citrus harvest is, you know, they grow better on that older wood. Man, we've got more than we can eat. And talk about fun being able to go out there and squeeze your lemon and for your iced tea, because tea by itself to me, I've got to do it Arnold Palmer style. I dump some lemonade in there, get some mint leaves in there.
There you go. Yeah. And it's nice just to even be able to mix in with a little bit of water. You know, it just really brightens up a glass of water in the summer to have some. A couple of lemon or lime cubes that have been frozen in your fridge. So yeah, juice those lemons and limes this time of year. Freeze up a bunch of the juice in ice cube trays. Then just dump the ice cube trays into a bunch of Ziploc bags and keep those in the freezer. And they can go a long way in the summer to brighten up your whatever drinks you're happening to brew up.
Well, tell me about this crepe myrtle. You've brought in a tree of the month, and we're talking about a crepe myrtle. Do I have that right?
Yeah, speaking of deciduous trees that can be pruned this time of year, all of your trees and shrubs that lose their leaves in the winter, they're called deciduous trees, they can be pruned during the winter, and that's really your optimum time. The sap flow is a lot lighter, and it's a great time to be pruning back your ash trees, your elm trees, your cottonwoods, your mulberries, your pecans, and the crepe myrtle. Crepe myrtle is a relatively small tree, very, very common in the Midwest and in the South. And there's a couple of varieties that are adaptable to our climate. And the more I see this tree in the landscapes, the more I like it. Years ago, I saw a few that struggled because they are a little more sun sensitive is a good word. And if they're not planted in a nicely irrigated area, they can struggle. But man, I've seen a few in the last number of years that have done so well here, and they are a prolific blooming tree. And you won't go wrong if you're looking for a nice tree for a small location, nice blooming tree. Bear in mind that it's going to lose its leaves in the winter and look bare. But gosh, during the spring and summer and fall, it's just one of those really nice patio, we call it like a patio tree. suitable for those smaller areas.
And when deciduous always and small, I always think of great opportunities to, I can't remember the exact technical term, but it's where they sculpt them on a trellis. A lot of times when we have homeowners that have a really hot west or south-facing wall, instead of spending a lot of money trying to, build shades or extensions, just put a trellis 6 to 12 inches off of it, off the wall, and then put something deciduous. That way in the winter, when it's lost its leaves, that some
you
sun
get
can
some
hit
of
that
solar energy heat comes through and you enjoy the sun, but then in the spring it leaves back
out. Airspace, and that's so important in insulation, is if you could create an airspace and you've got this, you know,
beautiful
green crepe myrtle that's you've kind of helped grow along this trellis. Would you need two or three to do, let's say, a 30-foot wall?
You might, and that type of pruning is called espalier. It's French type of pruning where you train a tree or a shrub to grow against a trellis or against a wall. They're really popular in Portland, Oregon. There's a couple of huge walls, and they've grown apple trees up the walls. And so these are fruit-bearing apple trees, but they've grown on, basically on a flat surface, and the branches are tied and trained to the branches as they grow. They just continually lightly tie them to the trellis. And there's these beautiful fruit-bearing walls, and they're very narrow. They're only a foot or, 18 inches out from the wall. The trellis might be 6 or 8 inches out, and then the plant itself grows a few more inches beyond the trellis. But very narrow applications. We've had some of our customers have actually trellised apple trees along the back fences of their yards. But you have to have adequate sunlight from certain angles. In fact, a western exposure is really nice. If you have one of those large 30-foot walls that's west or south-facing that takes a lot of heat during the summer, maybe consider building a trellis, maybe a metal or a wood trellis, and then start growing either some shrubs or vines up into that trellis to provide a nice insulation layer against that wall to cut some of that that reflected heat off those surfaces.
You want to talk trees? 1-888-767-4348.